Shalom.
This is Billy Brim coming to you from Branson, Missouri with the voice of One Witness Radio Broadcast. We've been talking about what I believe is of utmost importance for the church right now. We've got to, folks, we've got to learn to walk in divine love so the glory of God can manifest. And I'm telling a story about Kenneth E. Hagin, and when I went to work for him in the early 70s, it was my job to take his teachings and put them into books and magazine articles, etc. He was teaching a seminar on how to walk in love. And I've been saying this week that I thought I was really pretty good at it. In fact, he gave us the steps how to walk in love. Number one, you must be born again. Number two, you must know Romans 5:5, that every born-again person, the Holy Ghost sheds abroad in their hearts divine love. Number three, you have to know how this love behaves, how it operates. What is its definition? And then you have to know that so that you can judge yourself and get yourself back into love if you've gotten out of love. And so we've been going through the definition of divine love as is given in 1 Corinthians 13:4-8, the Amplified Bible. And we've already read and discussed how divine love operates. Love endures long and is patient and kind. Love never is envious nor boils over with jealousy. Love is not boastful or vainglorious, does not display itself haughtily. Love is not conceited, arrogant, and inflated with pride. Love is not rude, unmannerly, and does not act unbecomingly. Love does not insist on its own rights or its own way, for it is not self-seeking. Now, Brother Hagin said, you're going to find yourself in here. And he said, the next one coming up is the real temperature gauge, to gauge whether or not you're walking in love. Well, I was really kind of patting myself on the back and thinking, you know, I'm not jealous and I don't have to always have my way. I just wasn't. I was very, you know, that wasn't anything in our marriage at all. Kent, where do you want to eat? What do you want to do? I didn't mind. But when I got to the next one, whoa, I located myself. Brother Hagin said, this is where you can locate yourself. I located Billy Brim. The next one, the end of verse 5, love is not touchy or fretful or resentful. It takes no account of the evil done to it. It pays no attention to a suffered wrong. What? I couldn't believe it. Love is not touchy or fretful or resentful. My beloved, sanctified Nazarene grandmother was touchy. And my Pentecostal one was pretty fretful. What can this be? Touchy? What's wrong with being touchy? And then the more he went, I tell you, the more I saw myself. Love is not touchy or fretful or resentful. It takes no account of the evil done to it. My relatives had really good books on the evil that had been done to our family, all back to the Civil War days even. Keeping account, records of what's been done to your family, done to you. And boy, I tell you, here was Billy Brim the righteous, Billy Brim who always went to church, and Kent Brim who didn't get saved until he was 16 years old, and then Billy Brim had to teach him how to live and walk with God. Now, this is what happened, and I want you to know that this happened a long time ago because Shelley, my daughter, Shelley, don't get mad at me for telling it, Shelley's going to be 50 years old in July, my daughter, and this story happened when Shelley was just a little less than two. So you can see that this has been 48 years ago that this happened. Now, Kent and I were newly married, and we had this little baby, and we had two babies, in fact, only about 14, 15 months apart. Both of them were in diapers. We lived in a third-story apartment. It was a big mansion, and it had been made into apartments on Western Avenue in Mattoon, Illinois. And Kent would go to work. I would stay up in that apartment with those two babies all day long. And I had plenty of time to notice suffered wrongs. Now, my birthday is December 6th. Our wedding anniversary was November 26th. So every year at November 26th, I would start to be building up esteem. Because my husband, as good as he was, as kind as he was, in all of his life, he gave me all of his money. He never looked at other women. He was a wonderful father. but he had this terrible bad problem. He never remembered my birthday. And every year on November 26, I would start to notice it. I would start to build up a steam. He's not going to remember my birthday. December 6 would come. I would get up in the morning. I fixed his breakfast before he went to work. I slammed down his plate on the table. Now, Kent was a Cherokee Indian. He could be very quiet and not say a word. He didn't say a word. At noon, he came home. I remember this day very well. At noon, he came home. The food was on his table, but I was in the bedroom with the door shut and the blinds. It was really dark in there. I drew the blinds and the door was shut and I was crying my heart out. And I was saying, Kent doesn't love me. He never loved me. He doesn't love me. Now, every night, Kent Brim would come home from work, walk up those three flights of steps, take all the diapers. We didn't have washing facilities. Take all the diapers, tie them up in a sheet, go out to the laundry, wash them all, bring them back home and help me fold them. Give me his paycheck, which he got every week. But I was in that room crying because he forgot my birthday. Every single, I would cry and cry and cry. Kent Brim doesn't love me. He forgot my birthday. My eyes would get all swollen up. I would count the days before church because I didn't want to go to church. I never missed church, but I didn't want my eyes to be swollen on church day. So it was really good if my birthday came the middle of the week. So I cry and cry and cry. And then that night Kent came in. No food, no nothing. I'm in that bedroom. Everything's dark in there. Kent opens the door. He says, what's wrong with you? Is it your birthday or something? Oh, brother. Those were fighting words. And we probably did fight, but thank God we'd always make up. And that part was fun too. But I did things like this. I noticed every single wrong. I remember one time he did something to me and I said, Kent Brim, you did that 5 years ago. You did that very same thing. You see, I was keeping my accounting books record. Record's good. Now, it says in here, I've got to go by this word. I don't get to make up my rules. No, the one wrong on this business is Kent Brim. He should mark that birthday, circle that birthday, make sure he doesn't remember it. That's what modern psychiatry will tell you. That's even what modern church people will tell you. That's not right, folks. You can't go what modern people say. What's right is love does not notice a suffered wrong. It doesn't pay any attention. Love didn't even notice that Kent didn't remember the birthday. If I'd been walking in divine love, I would not have even noticed. I would have said, oh, Kent, you're so precious. Look what you've done here, walked up these steps, and you've worked hard all day. Bless the Lord. And I wouldn't even have mentioned it was my birthday. You know, I was young then, probably going on in years, you don't even care if they forget your birthday. But I noticed that he forgot my birthday. I noticed a suffered wrong. Now, then let's fast forward down here, and now it's probably, I don't know, maybe it's even 13 years later. And I'm going to this Brother Hagin's meeting, and I hear love does not notice a suffered wrong, and I know that I've been guilty. So what do? I write that on little cards, little 3x5 cards. I remember writing it. I think I wrote it by hand. I wrote it on those cards. I might have typed it. I put it in every place of attack. I put it inside my cabinet doors. I put it on my desk. I had a little pull-out steno pad holder. I put it there in case anybody would come in. There was one particular person at work that I had my problems walking in love. And I would put that there. I would put it in all the places of attack. And then, like, for instance, at work when that person came in, and once they came in, this person came in just woo, ready to get me. And I pulled out that steno pad, and I said, love is not touchy or fretful or resentful. And I looked up, and it was like a plexiguard glass came between them and me, and they were just raving over and ranting on the other side, but I didn't even hear them. It wasn't long till they left Kenneth Hagin Ministries. And didn't rant and rail on me anymore. But I had to learn to walk in love. Now, with my own husband, the main place was the kitchen. You know, you might love everybody down at the church and walk in love, but you got to love your family. You got to walk in love in that kitchen, in that house. And so inside my cabinet door, I put, love is not touchy or fretful or resentful. Love pays no attention to a suffered wrong. And Kent would come in. Like one night, I remember he walked in that back door. It was a kind of a big country kitchen in a big old house. He walked in that back door and he said, what you got? Soup. Ah, he said, I think I'll get me a bowl right now. Well, he got him a bowl of soup and sat down at the table. He said, "What'd you put in this soup anyway?" I said, "Well," and I told him what I put in. He took another bite and he said, "I wish you'd call Mom and see what she puts in her soup." Oh, I opened that cabinet door. Love is not touchy or fretful or resentful. I felt like saying, my flesh felt like saying, "Well, dump it out over here and go over to your mom's and get a bowl of her soup." See, that's what flesh would do. But no, I looked at that. I know I've got that kind of love in my spirit. Maybe my head wants to do something else. Maybe my lips want to say something else. But I've got that kind of love in my heart. And in that heart, that love would spring up. And then I would give him a soft answer. Soft answer turns away wrath. Then I remember one day that he came in. Again, it was the kitchen. Again, it was the cook stove. But this time it's chili. And he walks over. He even thought I made better chili than his mom. And it was a cold norther. And I was getting ready to go and teach over at Billy Joe's school, his Bible school at night. And so Billy Joe Doherty. And so he walked over to that and got him. He said, "Ah, chili, chili, good. I love chili." And I'd made him a pan of cornbread, made it in a skillet, a black iron skillet, and got that crush just right for him to eat with his chili. And he said, "Yum, yum," and he got him a, he didn't say yum, yum, Kent didn't say that. He said, "Oh, good, chili." And he put him a bowl of chili out there on that table. And then he said, "Where are the crackers?" And I said, "Honey, we don't have any crackers." I said, "I made you cornbread, hot cornbread." He said, "You know, I just don't feel like cornbread. I want crackers." Well, flesh wanted to say, "Are your legs broken? You have a brand new pickup out there. Go put the keys in it and go get you some crackers. I've got to go teach the Bible school." But I opened my door, and there I saw and read it again. And this time, God let something happen. I knew that love was in my heart. And this time, I said, "Love is not touchy or fretful or resentful." And this time, the love that was in my heart, I felt it like it was a volcano of hot, bubbling lava. It started in my belly. It came up out of me. It went out my arms, my eyes, my legs. I looked at him, and I didn't want it above anything in the world. I had to get that man crackers. I was overcome with divine love to get him crackers. As I was going, he doesn't know this is going on. As I'm going out the door, Kent says, "Oh, yeah, by the way, we're out of coffee." I go down to the grocery store, little old grocery store in Collinsville, Oklahoma. There's butcher paper on the window. Two items are on giveaway prices, coffee and crackers. I took it as a sign from the Lord. But I learned. That's just one example. I did it. I learned it. And I'm so glad because Kent and I, about our 30th anniversary, he moved to heaven. And oh, I tell you, we had some wonderful, wonderful years after I learned to walk in love. You want to learn, too, from Brother Kenneth E. Hagin. We're offering his book, special book, Love, The Way to Victory, 300 pages almost, and my cassette tape, which gives you the chili story in more detail, How to Walk in Love. Write Billy Brim at Box 40, Branson, Missouri, 65615, $10 for the two, or call us at 1-800-972-3447. Go to church this Sunday and make sure you walk in love. Shalom.